Thank you for plugging into this Family Life News podcast, streaming issues-driven, family-focused news.
Welcome aboard to a special edition of Capital Connection Fridays during the Noon Report. We give you direct connection, what's happening in Albany and Harrisburg with the experts on the issues at the state capitals. They are Jason McGuire of New Yorkers for Constitutional Freedoms and Michael Geer at the Pennsylvania Family Institute. This is our election recap, and so much still undecided. We'll begin with you, Michael. The eyes of the country squarely on Pennsylvania as the ballot count continues there. We're told it'll be done today. We'll see. The president says his team was denied a seat at the ballot counting table. They are letting them in now. He has filed suit. Does this lawsuit have a chance in the Keystone State?
Well, it remains to be seen. I think it does at least have a chance. There have been enough last-minute irregularities that has raised concerns. You know, statements made by the Pennsylvania Attorney General just prior to the election, statements made by the Pennsylvania Secretary of State impose some uncertainty and some questions about the process that have people in Pennsylvania wondering about, is this process fair? Yeah. We'll wait for the evidence to see.
Yeah, and when a lot of people want to know why all of a sudden everything came to a screeching halt around 10:30 on election night in Pennsylvania. So lots of questions still. Jason, regardless of what happens in this presidential race, and it may be weeks before we have a winner, a lot of litigation it looks like. Republicans had a better than expected night on Tuesday across the country and right in New York. Explain how that translated into those down ballot races.
Yeah, well, you know, listeners should remember that in New York we have over 6 million registered Democrats and only 2 million registered Republicans. And so when Republicans look like they've picked up somewhere between 3 and 6 seats in the state Senate, if those numbers hold during absentee counts, that shows it was a very good night for the Republicans, and they had to have cross-ballot appeal to be able to pick up those kinds of numbers. It also shows the difference between upstate and downstate. Long Island seems to be swinging back in the GOP's direction.
Yeah, and even if the president, and it's not decided yet, but even if the president does not win re-election, there was a Trump coattail effect in some of those races, wasn't there?
There was. I mean, if you look at the congressional races in particular, as we had talked about before the election, looking at what the Trump effect would be in New York 22 with Claudia Tenney, with John Katko in New York 24, other seats as we get further downstate, there was definitely a Trump effect that helped those congressional seats tip in the favor of Republicans.
All right, Michael, I know, as Jason mentioned, there's a lot of absentee ballots, and your state still isn't even called yet, but what's your sense of things on those down ballot races in Pennsylvania?
Well, very similar to what Jason has just reported, the president did seem to have very strong coattails in Pennsylvania related to the down ballot races. And if you had asked me 6 weeks ago, based on what we were hearing and seeing, we would have thought it would have been very different. So I think the president's rallies here in the state and in the last few days of the election, I think, brought a lot of down-ballot Republicans to victories.
Yeah, and it looks like the Republicans will pick up seats in the House and may hold the Senate. The Senate's still a question mark. But that's not what we were told was going to happen, Jason, when you look at the polls. I saw the one poll that had the president losing Wisconsin by 18 points or something like that. The difference is like 20,000 votes. Pollster Frank Luntz said the other day the real loser in this election was the polls, and that essentially the polling industry is done for. Those were his words. How can pollsters be so wrong for the second presidential election in a row?
Well, let's ignore the animus that is there on the part of some in what is called mainstream media towards conservative values. But dealing, you know, with the pollsters in particular, and assuming the best of them, it's hard to poll today. I mean, we don't know what the trends were going to be during this pandemic coming through that. Very few people have landlines anymore. People are loath to answer correctly in the polls or even answer their phones today. So I don't know how we're going to poll going forward, but it's going to be an entirely different environment. And it's one more example of how you don't trust the polls. Just go do your duty and vote.
Let me have a follow-up question for you, Jason, on that. When it comes to the media making calls on races, we saw Fox News call Arizona on election night, and several other networks have yet to call Arizona, even at this 3 days later. Do we need to rethink how the media projects races in making calls so early?
I think we do. Yeah, you know, I think we've handed who calls the races into a very few hands. And that can have an effect on the narrative that is being written, as we're actually seeing in the media right now. And so I think we do need to look at how we go through that process. And I was one watching the news as it was unfolding and just troubled by how quickly some of those states were called, while others, just they were dragging the feet on. Florida in particular was called very late, while Arizona was called very early.
Yeah. Michael, your Secretary of State, Kathy Buchvar, is very much under fire for how things went down Tuesday. We talked about this earlier. She's blaming Republicans for the way that the ballot counting rules are set up and that they set state law there. Regardless of whose fault it is, what changes do you think really need to happen to restore public confidence in Pennsylvania elections?
Well, number one, we need to think about the law was not just passed by Republicans. It may be a Republican majority legislature, but the governor, Tom Wolf, a Democrat, signed the bill into law that allowed for mail-in balloting in Pennsylvania. So for her to point to Republicans and say it's their fault is just illegitimate. But I think what needs to be done to restore, for me, is to go back to day of voting or even early voting in person. I think the problem with mail-in voting is it just, number one, takes so long to count. Number two, it just raises questions about the custody of the ballots, how they're returned. It's going to be a long road back after what's happened in Pennsylvania here in 2020.
Yeah, and I want to ask you again about early voting, because to me, that was the biggest story from this campaign 2020 was the early vote. Mike, I'll get you on that in a second. But Jason, first, talk about this new crop of incoming lawmakers that there's looks like, I know the absentee ballots aren't in until next week, but it looks like the supermajority for the Democrats in the state Senate's not going to happen. But you look at that assembly, Jason, man, a lot of those guys make AOC look like a moderate. These are card-carrying socialists and proud of it. What is the legislation that they're going to be pursuing next year?
Yeah, that's a part of that upstate downstate that I referred to earlier, but it isn't just upstate downstate. Even in the Rochester region, there were some Democrat Socialists of America, DSA type candidates that won seats, for example, in the Rochester region. There's a Senate seat that's tipping that way. And so it's something that is spreading through a liberal wing of the Democratic Party. They're looking to legalize things like prostitution, assisted suicide, raising the tax brackets. And so if this party and if these people that advocate for these Democrat Socialists of America continue to gain power, as AOC and her kind appear to be, it's going to be very challenging for the Empire State moving forward.
And Michael, voting day is now voting month. First election ever where the majority of the vote was cast before Election Day. In 4 years, many pundits are saying Election Day will be insignificant. And as I said earlier, I think this was the big headline from this year, early voting. How has that fundamentally changed our elections for the better and for the worse?
Well, you know, it's good to encourage voting and to have as many people as possible vote. That's an important citizen duty, so I think that's a good thing. I think where the negatives are, number one, it sort of, I think, spreads disunity in the country that we're not all acting in the same or similar ways in terms of when we vote and how we vote and what information we're voting on. Just take Pennsylvania, for example, the presidential debate, the last presidential debate. We had Joe Biden talk about ending the oil industry and cutting back on fracking, which impacts Pennsylvania in a significant way. So you think about a voter in western Pennsylvania whose livelihood may have depended on either of those two industries, who may have cast a mail-in ballot for Biden, only to hear that information just before the election and wish he could have changed his vote or her vote, which he could not do based on Pennsylvania law. Those are the challenges that come with this early voting.
Yeah, that is a great point. Jason, I'll end with you. Right at the word go, Joe Biden was within 60 votes of winning this thing. Due to that big blue wall, he starts at 215, twice as many electoral votes as the Republican. The path so much harder to 270 if you're a Republican running for president in this country. What do future Republican presidential candidates have to do, and what does the party have to do to level that playing field?
Well, this is going to sound strange, but I think in some ways they're going to have to continue doing what President Trump did do. There was tremendous outreach into the Hispanic community in Florida, for example. I think in Nevada we saw some strong gains there. So there does have to be outreach to communities that the Republicans have not traditionally reached out to. Now, the tone and the tenor of the president has also hurt him in other segments of the voters out there. And so I think that a happy warrior mentality, you know, the winsome and articulate smile can go a long way in helping the GOP to reach new communities. If you look at New York State, for example, I mean, we just see a variety of candidates that are looking different, are speaking different, but are sharing some conservative values that are beginning to win in Republican circles and across the country. That's the direction I think they need to go.
All right, and that will have to be the last word this week. The dust yet to be settled. But if folks have questions about the great work going on at the Pennsylvania Family Institute, Michael, where can they find you?
Our website is pafamily.org.
Doing great work in Albany as well. New Yorkers for Constitutional Freedoms. Jason, what's your website, sir?
albanyupdate.com.